Okay, you know what that means. That old school bell tells us it's time for session number 19 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. This school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and I call myself the superintendent of this radio Bible school. I hope you'll go get your Bible at this time and turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, looking at verses 8 through 23. We begin this particular lesson last time we met, and I want to give a quick review as we get into the explanatory notes so we'll know right where we are. This is what's going on. The king of Syria is trying to capture the king of Israel. But every time he goes where he thinks the king of Israel is, the king of Israel has already left and gotten away. Now the king of Syria is suspicious that there is someone among them betraying him and telling the plans and getting that word out to the king of Israel so that he's always a step ahead of him. But they tell him, no, that's not what's happening. There's a prophet, Elisha, in Israel, and he knows what you're saying in your bedchamber. That's like he even knows what you're saying in your bedroom. And so the king of Syria sets out to surround Elisha and capture the prophet. And when the prophet and his young man walk out of the city where they are staying at Dothan, they look up and they are surrounded by the armies of the king of Syria. Well, it frightens the young man, but Elisha says, "Don't you fear. Those with us are greater than those that surround us." Let me just read the text to you here from 2 Kings 6, 18 through 17, and you can follow along if you have your Bible with you. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 17. Now, we read this last time, but I think it'll be good to read it again before we get to the explanatory notes. Here's how it goes. Now the king of Syria was warring against Israel, and he took counsel with his servant, saying, "In such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou not pass such a place, for thither the Syrians are coming down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there, not once nor twice. And the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will ye not show me which of us is for this king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "Nay, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." And he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he's in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant, the man of God, was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host with horses and chariots round about the city. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Let's now go directly into the explanatory notes. And I'm reading from a Sunday school lesson that was written for February 26, 1922, by an old preacher named E. A. Elam. Here's the note. disobedience and punishment. The king of Syria was Ben-Hadad II. The king of Israel at this time was Jehoram. The king of Syria was warring against Israel. At this time, the Syrians were making insurrections into the kingdom of Israel, carrying away grain and cattle and captives, 2 Kings 5:2. They were making repeated attacks on Israel. These God had raised up as adversaries, 1 Kings 11:14, to chastise Israel. Had Israel obeyed God and been faithful in his servants, they would have dwelt in peace and safety in their land, and God would have given them the victory over their enemies. But in disobedience and idolatry, they were weak and became a prey to the adversaries. In times of sin, disobedience, and affliction, God sends them prophets, rising up early and sending them, Jeremiah 25:4, to warn them against sin, to point out the punishment, thus connecting the punishment with the disobedience and the blessings with obedience. Then all this has been written for our warning and encouragement and salvation, Romans 15:4 and 1 Corinthians 10:1-13. The king of Syria took counsel with his officers and determined, according to their best military tactics, where it would be best to encamp. Number two, Elisha saved Israel. Elisha is called the man of God, 2 Kings 4:7, because God's will was revealed through him, and he was God's representative to the people. When the king of Syria would determine on a certain movement, Elisha, by inspiration, knew it at once and would send word to the king of Israel, warning him either to avoid the place or to protect it against attack, for thither the Syrians are coming down. Thus the king of Israel anticipated every movement of the enemy and was prepared to meet him. Therefore the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there, not once nor twice, but many times. Number three, the king of Syria troubled. And the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for these things. He was so often thwarted in his plans by the movement of the army of Israel that he was sure the king of Israel had been informed of them, and he knew no way by which the king of Israel could receive such information except through some traitor. His defeat would naturally enrage him, and the thought of any of his trusted servants betraying his plans to the enemy grieved him. Hence he called his servants together and says, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He no doubt thought he would put a stop to this treachery by ascertaining who was guilty. Some of the servants of the king of Syria knew of Elisha's prophetic powers. Some of the Syrians had been in Israel, and all doubtless knew of Naaman's cure by Elisha. Some of these servants may have been with Naaman when he was healed. One of them, therefore, replied to the imperial charge of the king of Syria, that one of them at least was a traitor, by saying, "Nay, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Then no one of the servants of the king of Assyria was a traitor, but Elisha had been revealing to the king of Israel the plans and secret thoughts of the king of Syria. That the servants of the king of Syria knew this shows that Elisha's power to prophesy and work miracles was known outside of Israel. Number four, an effort to stop the trouble. The king of Syria thought he would at once put a stop to this hindering work of Elisha by seizing him, not thinking in his stupidity that his plans to capture Elisha would be readily as known to Elisha as his aims and plans to capture the king of Israel. Hence he sent his servants to learn where Elisha was. They found upon inquiry that he was at Dothan, and so reported to the king. Dothan is the place to which Joseph's brothers had gone when he sought them at Shechem, and near there is where they took him and sold him. It was about 10 miles north of Samaria and about 13 miles north of Shechem. Elisha then, at Dotham, was that much nearer the Syrians than the capital of the king of Israel. The Syrians might capture him there without arousing the army of Israel at Samaria. To make sure of a capture, the king of Syria sent not a marauding band, but horses and chariots and a great host. This large number was sent doubtless to surround the city, that none might escape, and to be ready for any emergency should the army of Israel be aroused. This was done secretly and at night, that the purpose might not be discovered. Number 5. How God saved Elisha. Elisha's servant, not Gehazi, who is now a leper, upon rising early the next morning, the host which surrounded Dotham, it seemed that Elisha as yet did not know this. God had not revealed it to him. In distress, the servant said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" To this servant it seemed that there was no escape, that they would be captured and destroyed. Elisha was unmoved by such news, and his faith in God was unshaken. He was comforted by his servant, saying, He also comforted his servant, saying, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them." How could that be, when there are only two of them against horses and chariots and a host of Syrians? He meant, as the next verse shows, that God, who was on their side, was greater than all who could be against them. He had perfect confidence in God that an angelic host would come at God's bidding to their relief if necessary. This host was at hand, and it seemed from his prayer below that with his spiritual vision he could see them. Jesus once said to Peter, "Thinkest thou that I cannot beseech my Father, and he shall even now send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Matthew 26:53. Then Elisha prayed and said, "Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The servant's spiritual eyes were opened, and he saw these things. This mountain was the hill on which Dothan stood. These horses and chariots of fire were like the ones that carried Elijah up to heaven in 2 Kings 2:11. This demonstrates the golden text. The angel of Jehovah campeth around them that fear him and delivereth them. These forces of God were present to defend the prophet before his eyes were opened to see them. And are there not now angels around God's people, but not visible to the natural eye? We read in the New Testament, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" Hebrews 1 and verse 14. We're not going to see angels like this servant did, but we can know that God, in his own providential ways, has ways of looking after us. And sometimes it may involve angels. Had we had our eyes open to discern spirits and angels, wouldn't we be able to see them? When the Syrian host came down from the hills round about Dothan to capture Elisha, he did not call into service these horses and chariots of fire, but prayed God to smite the Syrians with blindness. And God did so. This was not a prayer of revenge, but to show the Syrians the goodness and power of God, and to impress upon the king of Israel the fact that deliverance was of God. All the host of Syria were groping their way in blindness, and Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, neither to this city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man that you seek." And we're going to have to stop there. We're out of time. I'll finish this in the next school session. And so, as the old schoolmaster used to say, you may now be dismissed.